Yeah, we might have AFL, we might have NRL, we might have A-League, we might have NBL, we might have Big Bash, and we might have some supercars to watch soon as well. Mark Scaife's been good enough to join me, five-time V8 supercar champion, six-time Bathurst winner, Fox Sports motor racing commentator, and it's great to be able to chat to you, Scaife. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne.
We've been talking about a lot of sports coming back. When do you think you might be back?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? We've been working very hard with the state governments and federally to try to get us back on track as soon as we can. I mean, it's one of those things. I think if you looked at our sport and probably compared it to, say, horse racing, there's probably, from an outdoor sport perspective, there's probably no reason why we shouldn't be, you know, one of the first to get back on track. But it's one of those ones where we've got teams in garages, and the social distancing and the COVID compliance aspects of it must be adhered to, you know, very strictly. And we're looking at how we get back to being able to put a TV-only race meeting on. So we'll probably have to change some formats and do some things to ensure that we can at least be back and going. And I thought, from the last thing that Sean Seamus said, who's the CEO of Supercars, late June looks like at the moment our proposed date.
And you've already got a lot of really strict guidelines that teams have to adhere to, that your drivers have to adhere to anyway. So it wouldn't be all that difficult to up those guidelines to the point that you buy a secure as well.
Yeah, look, that's a really good point. I mean, if you went through all sport, you'd probably say that motor racing's one of the most highly regulated sports. The amount of regulations and rules that we run under, not just from a technical perspective, but a sporting perspective, et cetera, are immense. So what we need to do is make sure that we put another layer of regulation in there to make sure that we comply. And, you know, even to the point of having COVID compliance officers that are there and infringements, which, you know, would be penalised for any irregularity, et cetera, making sure that they're listed and properly handled within the judicial system, Dwayne, is really important. So we've got a lot of that structure and a lot of that work that's been done. We've worked very closely with Motorsport Australia, which used to be called CAMS, and we've basically put our submissions in with the best medical advice that we've got. So again, further to your point, you know, the biosecurity aspects of it, even just the accreditation, getting in and out of the events, and the logistics of getting to and from the events have been heavily concentrated on.
I heard you talking on Fox Sports a couple of days ago talking about night racing and the fact that you'll be back without crowds before you're back with crowds. So racing at night is not such a bad idea because you can't see whether there's people in the grandstands anyway.
Exactly. I mean, I love the idea. We've done a couple of those events in Sydney and in Perth over the last couple of years, and they've been fantastic. You know, all the fireworks and all the normal things that we do and from an entertainment perspective. But the cars look great too. You know, They look like they're in concourse condition when the lights are on them, and the, you know, the exhaust flames and the brake rotors glow, and the whole thing looks fantastic. So I think it's a smart thing for us to do, and maybe even a way of sort of making the first event back more from an event perspective, more vibrant, and be able to put one on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or something leading into a proper weekend schedule.
So, primetime night as well gives the opportunity to do something pretty spectacular. Which track would you favour? And a primetime night event would only be a Wednesday. Why wouldn't you go with a Friday or a Saturday or even a Sunday night?
Well, look, that's a good point. I think it's going to be pretty congested when we all start back. And I think from a Fox perspective that you'll find the AFL and the NRL will be prioritised based on how much money they're spending on those codes. So for us, if we were able to run a midweek prime time race or race meeting, and then leave everything in situ, which we could do for that next weekend, and we create our own bubble and we ensure that, you know, everybody's isolated and all the things that are done as a consequence of the regulations, I think we could probably get that up. But it's one of those ones where, you know, as you said, if you're in prime time, you need to make it look groovy. And for us, nighttime racing looks great. The drivers love it. For whatever reason, when you're in the car, because the visibility is slightly impaired compared to normal, the cars feel like they're going faster because things rush up at you. So, you know, the whole thing is a pretty cool event.
So you won't light up Bathurst, but Bathurst is something that everybody wants to see at some stage. Do you move Bathurst if you have to? What's the parameters around Bathurst? Because it wouldn't be a season without one.
Well, that's exactly right. That's like having the AFL season without a grand final, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we thought about that a lot. Bathurst is too big to light, 6.2 kilometres. So the best venues to light for us would be venues like Sydney Motorsport Park in Sydney, which is west of the CBD, Barbagallo in Perth. And it's a little bit to do with the governments as to what they would like to do to get us going. You know, some governments will be more proactive of the sport and wanting to get, their city shown off as part of the rebooting of our economy and rebooting of sport. But on the other side, Bathurst still prevails as the biggest and best event for us, and we need to be very careful to preserve it and also to make sure that we can run the race meeting as well as we can, because that is, it's a massive, big, long racetrack, and it's 3 hours west of Sydney, so it's a place that will cost, a lot of money to put the event on, and by then, by October, who knows what the world looks like in terms of crowds, etc.
So speaking of crowds, is it a chance that your Darwin event could be the first one with crowds?
Well, yeah. I mean, Northern Territory have been quite overt, haven't they? So, they're going to open pubs and they're going to get things going. And I think, again, without sort of being disparaging of any state or federal policy, there is a lot of difference around the country in terms of the jurisdictions and the way that this virus has affected the respective zones. So if, for instance, that the Territory are more aggressive about getting things going, then certainly one of our options, I got an email from Sean Seymour, the CEO, this morning, and we've got about 20 calendar variants going at the moment. So we're not quite there yet, but certainly Darwin was one that's high on our radar because, as I said, they're going to be aggressive about the restart of sport.
Which would make you, if you did have it scheduled, maybe the first major sport in Australia to have crowds back, because you're already scheduled for Darwin. It's tough for the AFL to take a game up there because you need to put the lines in, cameras, all that kind of stuff. But you've already got an event scheduled there, so you could be the first Australian major sport with some crowds.
Well, that's not lost on us. We would love to be that. We're such a sport that our fans and supporters are so avid, Dwayne. If you went through all sport, the ability for so many of our fans to make their way to Darwin, they love the event. They escape the winter, of the southern part of the country and go up and find some sunshine and go and attend a supercars event. That's why it's so popular up there. It's one of our best events. It's a real signature event up there. So, and the same thing goes for Townsville, really. I mean, I know that that's more restrictive, but those people usually, we get 150,000 people over 3 days, basically, at Townsville. So it's the same sort of reasoning in terms of how popular it is.
And you suggested on Fox Sports the E-Series might continue, even when racing is allowed back in reality. You liked it that much. You've liked it that much.
Oh, look, I think what it's got is it's got its place. I mean, we do have to be mindful that it is virtual. It is simulation. Yeah. I mean,
I watched the League of, League of Legends show the other day where it was just massive to understand that there are professional gamers out there that are, and there's professional NBA gamers now on Prime Time on ESPN if you want to watch it.
Well, exactly. And look, to me, it's effectively sports lovers and people that like racing, for instance, that are the people that are involved in this all the time. A lot of our drivers have been doing it for years. I mean, McLaughlin and Shane Van Gisbergen, for instance, they've been doing it for 10 years, this iRacing thing. So there's a fair bit of rote learning in all that, and they're very, very good at it. But conversely, guys like Jamie Wincup and David Reynolds, who haven't done very much of it, they're at the back of the field. And here's a Jamie Wincup who's a seven-time champion. So clearly some of the stuff doesn't really correlate. However, it's got its place. And the ratings that we've seen and the interest that we've seen through the E-Series so far would have to lead you down the path of saying, well, if you've got a good product, why wouldn't you just keep it going? Yeah. And maybe you use it to lead into your season, or you fill some voids at certain times. I think from a total sports perspective, we'd be mad not to grab it and to do it well. And we have. I mean, the plaudits basically have been that iRacing around the world, that the supercar iteration is the best because it looks like a telecast. You know, we've got Lando Norris in Formula 1. We've got Will Power from IndyCar. We've got superstars that have joined the series, and they love it. And they continue to boast, you know, this is the best. So I think if you've got a good product, then you should stick with it.
Talking to six-time Bathurst winner Mark Scaife. Mark, before I let you go, is there a chance that Daniel Ricciardo, if he did move to Ferrari, would be Australia's biggest sports star globally, probably overtaking a Ben Simmons, perhaps?
Gee, he has to be close, wouldn't he? I know there's a lot of chat about this at the moment. I mean, I think the short price favourite is a guy called Carlos Sainz, who's currently driving for McLaren. He's a superstar young bloke who, you know, his father was one of the world's best rally drivers. And I think there's been some other conjecture about a couple of other European young guys that could fill that void. But, I mean, there's a fair mystery to it too, because I really don't know what the Vettel scenario is. Is he actually going to retire? Is he going to go to another team? Is he, you know, what's his plan? So four-time champion deciding to pull up stumps has created some unrest and probably it needs a little bit of conjecture at the moment because there's no racing going on. You should have a few things to talk about.
Let me throw one at you that you do have some deep knowledge about. You're building a track in Brisbane, correct? You've designed and built the whole motorsports centre, or you're building one?
Yeah, we're building one right at the airport. It's opposite the international airport, and it'll be Australia's biggest automotive precinct when it's finished. It'll be finished in mid-2022. We've basically got 80% of the market already committed to the site, and it's a massive retailing facility right at the airport. We'll have 5 hotels on site, convention centre, experience centres, all the stuff. And it's got a 2.5K test track in the middle of it. So you'll be able to go there, select the 2 or 3 cars that you'd like to buy, organise to test drive them and be able to test drive them on site. So if you think about road safety, Dwayne, it's the next generation of road safety. I mean, you think about most dealerships today and how you actually test drive a car, it's almost impossible. So to be able to do that on site, it's going to be fully lit. So you'll be able to run right through till 10 o'clock at night because there's no noise restrictions being at an airport. It's a really exciting project.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So the test track, you can drive at any speed. So if you wanted to test drive a Porsche, perhaps you could take it for a real drive as opposed to what you can do normally.
Well, that's right. What we'll do is, under that scenario, we've actually simulated the circuit in a Porsche Carrera Cup car.
Uh-huh.
So basically the highest speed you can do is about 250 kilometres an hour. But that would be on a sanctioned drive day, similar to what, you know, Porsche would do at a different racetrack now. But if you're just a customer, for instance, and you've gone to the track, and I think the biggest thing about it is, it serves a purpose from your first drive, your first car for your son or daughter, right through to a Ferrari or Porsche driver who would like to test drive the car on track. So we've got about 8 or 9 different variants. We've got skid pans. We've got kick plates. We've got low friction surfaces. We've got an all-wheel drive area. We've got all the stuff. So it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be really good.
Yep, sounds bloody good. Great to have a chat to you, Scaife. Always good to be able to pick your brain. And for the V8 fans out there, it's been enlightening. Thanks again.
No problem. Thanks, Dwayne.
Mark Scaife, 5-time V8 Supercar champion, Fox Sports motor racing commentator, and it's good to be able to get that update. 1-300-736-736, your call straight after a quick break.